So praise God. Well, so if you have your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 4. We'll say a prayer before we start here, and I want to thank God tonight for giving praise. You know, it's never, it's always a good time to give praise to God, because He's been good. And to me personally, I've got to know Him more and more, and I'm getting to know Him more and more just by study of His Word. More than that, but just walking with God and seeing His Word and perform in our lives. So He's always true to His Word. And that's how we need to be, true to our Word, because God is, you know, He's faithful, and He wants us to be faithful to Him as well and to one another. The title of our message tonight is Don't Let the Storm Keep You Up. So let's go ahead and pray together. Why don't we stand together one more time and pray together? Thank you, Lord. We just want to thank Him. Let's go ahead and praise Him. Father, we praise You tonight. Oh, we give You praise, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your good Word tonight and Your good Holy Spirit that's here. And we thank You for every word that comes from Your Scriptures, that it will enlighten us and give us illumination to any dark area that we don't understand. We ask Your wonderful presence to be so real to those tonight that need a special touch. Thank You for the healing power. We thank You for miracles, signs and wonders, and what You're doing in our midst, Father. Thank You, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We give You praise. Lord, thank You for this teaching. Anoint this time together as we learn and grow together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. So tonight, our lesson, the title of our lesson is Don't Let the Storm Keep You Up. And, of course, the area that we're looking at is handling the problems, handling life's problems. That's our, you know, area, general area of topic, handling life's troubles or problems. And then, as I mentioned, the title is Don't Let the Storm Keep You Up. And Mark chapter 4, let's go ahead and read Mark chapter 4 is the text that we're going to read in a number of verses of Scripture. Chapter 4, verse 35 and 30, and verse 40, there's five verses we're going to read together. As evening came, Mark chapter 4 and 35, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back part of the boat with His head on a cushion. The disciples woke Him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind, and He said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. The disciples were absolutely terrified, verse 41 says. "Who is this man?" they ask each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey Him." That's a reading from the New Living Translation. So I want to propose an idea to you tonight that there is rest in the middle, even in the middle of a storm or in the midst of a storm. Have you ever slept through a storm? If there's ever been a storm, you know, maybe you're at camp or somewhere on. And it used to make me sleep, but some storms don't make you sleep. I know when I lived in Oklahoma, that storm didn't make me sleep. It kept me awake all night. Those were, you know, really wicked weather, wicked storms, and they tear houses apart and carry people miles off and kill people. Destroy, whole towns are wiped out, cities are wiped out. These are called tornadoes, and so we're not, those are really huge, wicked storms. So, if you ever step through a storm, you know, somebody might have said to you, "Did you hear the blasting and all the crackling last night and the light show and so on?" And when the storm hit, it knocked down trees and moved debris all around our yard. And some people, you know, can't sleep during a storm. They stay up all night, and they're just concerned and worried because, you know, what could happen? I don't know. But so some folks are not ready or able to sleep through a storm. And so in some senses, you know, in big storms of life, when it comes to life, our own personal lives, that we can't rest. It's hard to get any kind of relaxation, because if you're going through a really hard time during life, it could be any number of things. And there's usually main areas of concerns that most people have that come to my office. Usually it's a sickness, a disease or something like that, or it's a marriage or a relationship problem. And sometimes it's a financial issue. Sometimes it's different things like mental health, emotional discord, and just areas that people have a hard time with children, family members are concerned about, and work-related, employment. So those are just really difficult situations, and they hit hard sometimes. And sometimes one storm comes, and another one comes at you, and you go through one, and all of a sudden another one comes up. I've seen, when I was in the South, when I went to Bible school, I've seen different storms that come up, like different, not just one tornado, but several tornadoes hit a certain place in a certain area. So, but in some sense, we all experience storms in some way or another, and some of us have lost sleep at times. We couldn't sleep because we thought about it, and maybe got some 2 hours sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, get up at 5, and then you wake up and you start thinking about how you're going to solve that thing. And then you wake up. I don't know if anybody has been like that besides myself. And we wake up and we think, what can we do? And it's not that sometimes you're worried. Maybe you are worried, but I don't know. You just kind of stay up because you start thinking, how am I ever going to solve this issue? So God wants all of us to be blessed with sleep and rest. And he wants us to have answers to whatever storm that's hitting us. And we look to, sometimes naturally, you know, we look to our weather reports. We look to the meteorologist to tell us what's coming up next. If it's going to be cold, it's going to be hot. Should I take a jacket? Should I take extra water with me? What should I do? Should I stock up? You know, there's a guy down east, and he's always giving us weather reports about our area. He's a comical guy. And it's nice to see that, you know, he makes us laugh, even though there's like a, you know, a bunch of snow coming. And so I don't know if anybody ever saw that guy. He's really funny. So if you don't find him, he's hilarious. Stressed out. Well, let's look at the picture for a second. Jesus is sleeping in the boat in the midst of a raging storm. The reactions of his disciples tell us a lot. This should tell us something about our own lives, the way the disciples reacted when the storm hit. And they, you know, you might be enjoying life right now and everything's calm, but sometimes a storm hits. The weather report didn't come like it should have come, but it hit. And sometimes in life, a storm comes your way. And you weren't ready for it, and it hit you. And you don't know what to do. And I like, you know, saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eye's on you. And that's a scripture found in 2 Chronicles 20, when those three kings or three nations coming against Israel, and they were stronger nations than the little Israel, and they cried out to God. And in 2 Chronicles 20, they said, God, we don't know what to do. And we didn't slaughter these people before. We could have done them harm, but we didn't. Now they're treating us this way. They're coming to destroy us. We're just a small bunch here. Their army is much larger than our army. We don't know what to do. And sometimes you don't know what to do. But he said, our eye's on you. And we have to get our eyes in the right place. If you look at the storm, somehow it gets bigger. So sometimes we're enjoying life and everything is fine. We're not expecting the storm, but still the storm rages and comes in. And things happen. So what are we going to do? Are we going to rest? Some people can't rest. or are we going to stress out? Some people stress out. Jesus said to the storm, he said, peace. Now, over here in Mark 4:39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind. And he said to the waves, now he's speaking here to the wind and he's speaking to the waves. Now, if any one of you did the same thing, we think you're nuts. But in a certain way, in a certain fashion, we ought to speak to our storm. Speak to the winds of adversity. Speak to the storm and say, storm, I'm coming through you. Wind, you're going to have to die down. Whatever is being thrown at you, we're gonna speak. Jesus said, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped. There was a great calm. We see here Jesus speaking. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the storm calmer. He's right there with you right now, and he expects each of us to do something about what we're watching. Are we going to react and react to what we feel, or begin to act on what we believe? Those are something you have to ask yourself in the midst of a storm. What do you believe? And you should have some beliefs before ever a storm ever hits. And you should know what to do. You should always have, I don't know about you, but sometimes some houses, they say they have a plan if there's a fire. So they make an escape plan if there's a fire. They said, let's meet here and so forth, so on. Let's call, the police and whatever they're going to do before. And so we should always have a safety situation arranged before the storm ever hits us. So we need to do the same thing spiritually and get ourselves ready for any kind of storm the devil might want to throw at us. So let's take a look at the various phrases in those numbers of scriptures we saw, some of the segments we'll look at, of this account and see what we can learn in order for us to apply the scriptures to our own lives or the truth to our own lives. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, 36, again, let's go ahead. At the evening, Jesus came and said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. That's very significant. You need to look at that in light of Revelation. Jesus is not just making a mindless statement. He was making a statement that he believed he's going to reach to the other side. And we're going to look at this again. He said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat. They took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats were followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. Waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat with his head on a cushion. Well, how could you sleep in something? That should speak to a lot of us. Teacher, they said, don't you care? I mean, that's a very familiar statement for people. God, there's a storm here. Come on, God. You know, do your magic here. We tell God, as if he's our servant, to do something. When God's asking you, you better do something about that. I remember listening to a story Brother Higgins said one time when he saw these demon spirits, Jesus actually had a vision, and all of a sudden this demon appeared, and he was going yakety-yak. Every time he yelled and screamed, a big puff of smoke came. He couldn't read Jesus' lips, nor hear Jesus' words because he was yelling so much. And, he's saying, what's going on? I can't hear Jesus. This is important. He's telling me something here. And he's listening, he's thinking, why doesn't Jesus do something about that demon? And finally, he got so irritated, Kenneth did, and he said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here, shut up. And that demon fell on the floor and plop, and he whimpered and whined, and he started shaking. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? If he hadn't done anything about that demon, I couldn't. And he thought, let me just get this straight here. First of all, you mean to say you wouldn't? No, Jesus said, no, if you didn't do anything, I couldn't have done anything. And he said one more time, he just shook his head again. Jesus, I'm hearing you wrong. I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying if I didn't do anything about it, you mean you wouldn't do it? He said, no, I couldn't do anything. Sometimes people, that's what Jesus told those disciples, you know, where's your faith? He expected them to do something, but he, because he's merciful, he stepped in and helped them out. And there's a lesson in this for a lot of us. There's a lot of things we can learn from this. Sometimes when storms come to your life, there's some things that God wants you to do. You can't just wait for God to do it all, because God has already given us his name. He's given us his word. He's given us faith. He's given us his grace to go through and do whatever we're supposed to do during a hard time. And so it's not all God. It's not all up to God to get you out of that situation. What's your part in it? Well, there's some things that we have to do. So it says here, teacher, don't you care? Well, you know, does he care? Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked him, why are you so afraid? Hey, Jesus, storm, waves, water, you know. I'm sure you've done this, but not the way I just did it. You've said things. Come on, Jesus, hey, where's the magic here? Come on. You know, and so they're telling Jesus here. Jesus said to him, "What's wrong with you guys? Why are you afraid?" And you know, here's Jesus. He's with them, and they're getting all scared. But there's another thought I want to bring in here in a moment that'll help you out a little bit. He said, "Do you still have no faith?" Well, where is your faith? He said. So God is looking for us to use what we've learned. And we need to start applying what we know in the time, like we always depend on someone else to do our praying for us. Hello? You know, and sometimes we ask, you know, a whole bunch of people. Like Sunday, I said, well, how many people does it take to answer one sick man's prayer? How many? Six? And how many times must you pray for the same thing over again? 20 times? 27? 10? 100 times? Or how many people do you need praying? 200. And so you better know exactly the number, because Jesus said he was just looking for one man in Ezekiel 22:30. One man so he can save. He was looking for one man to stand in the gap so he could save, you know, and send help. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree, it's just two people. I know Abraham saved, you know, he saved, I think it was, how many people, 40, 50? He prayed. There's a whole two cities together, twin cities together, Sodom and Gomorrah. And God says, I'm going to destroy that land. And he began to argue with God why God shouldn't do it, because there's some good people in there. Are you going to destroy the good people with the, you know, the ugly people there? I mean, the wicked people. and so he says, you know, Jesus said, no, God says, okay, would you destroy the place for, you know, 40 and 50, 50 and so on? And then went right down to, I think it's 20. And so that's just one guy praying. And so we need to understand, it says in the scripture, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. One person. So that's just a little food for thought. It's not in my notes, but we won't charge anything for it. We'll just let you have this one for free. Amen? But if you think about it, you can just give extra offerings tonight and put it my name on it. Resting during the test. Well, you can rest in the biggest storms of life, or can you rest in the biggest storm of your life, the biggest marriage blow-up ever to ever occur in Thunder Bay? The biggest mess financially in the history of Canada is happening right in your house right now. Can we rest during that time? Well, your reactions tell the significance of what you really believe. What you do, what you say, really tells the whole story. The Bible says we can act on what we believe, and many are acting on what they have believed or are believing. They're saying exactly what they believe about the situation they're in. And so most significantly, their words tell us what they believe. See, what we say about what's going on in our lives really tells or situates where you're at. You know, the lady with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch Jesus, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. You know, Jesus said, you can have what you say. Of course, at Mark 5:34, Jesus said, her faith made her well. Verse 28 of that chapter, 5:28, Jesus said, the lady said, if I can just touch Jesus. Verse 34, Jesus said, your faith made you well. So her words was her faith talking according to what Jesus said. So in other words, what you say about every problem you have is your faith talking, right? He said over there in Matthew 12:34, he says, the abundance of your words, whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. That's what Jesus said. So we see here that there is peace in the midst of the storm because Jesus slept while his disciples worried and feared about the situation. Why do we see this illustration in the first place? The Lord sleeping and all the disciples running around with their, like their chickens with their head cut off. Like they're just, what should I do? You ever notice that when bad things happen, you kind of lose your head? That's happened to me the other day. Just jump out of bed and somebody's knocking at the door and, you know, it's like you're in the middle of the sleep and they wonder what's going on, you know? You know, trying to put on your clothes, your shoes, and so on. So seemingly he wasn't aware the storm was even raging. What did he know before the storm hit that the disciples didn't know? I believe each one of those disciples were experienced seamen. They're experienced sailors or fishermen or business people that work at sea. And they knew about the storms. They should know what to do. But it seemingly, it said here, they were going to die. And Jesus, we ought to be ready for any kind of storm. What are you going to do when the doctor gives you the report? And they say, okay, go call the pastor for the last rites. I remember going to the hospital and they said, call Roma. And he's going to give you the last rites. Well, I said, I'm not going to give no last rites. I'm going to give the first rites. He has the right to be healed, praise God. Amen? And so the storm hit. Jesus, it says here in Mark 4:38-39, Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher! Don't you care that we're going to drown? That's their faith speaking. They weren't saying, listen, we're all going to make it. Don't worry, Jesus, go ahead and sleep. We're all okay out here. They didn't say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God for his holy angels. They didn't say that. Because Jesus said, where's your faith? That's not faith talking. I said, that's not faith talking. Jesus rebuked the wind, wind and storm for them, and he talked to them. He said, hey, where's your faith? We're supposed to use your faith in the storm. So what do you believe about it? Are you guys doing okay or what? Okay, so you're too quiet on me, like your faith is not being stirred or something. Come on now. Try and help yourself out a little bit. Help me out. I think the Lord demonstrated, a decision already before the storm ever hit that he's going to have peace. When you get up each morning, you're going to say, no matter what happens, I'm going to remain calm. No matter what comes my way, I will not fear. If anything happens, I'm not going to be afraid. See, you make that decision before any trouble comes your way. You have to make a decision right now that you're not going to blow up. You got to make a decision that you're not going to be depressed and down, you know, for so long. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something's going on. Amen. Now, here's another word that says here, let's go over to the other side. Now, that's faith talking. Jesus already determined before the storm comes, he said, we're going to the other side. He knew no matter what happens that day, this is his faith confession. Are you listening to that? So when the storm hits, we're going to say what the Bible says. We're going to, I'm not afraid. I will not be afraid. I made a decision never to be afraid. No matter what happens, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of bad news. Glory to God. Huh? That's good. That's a good word, Pastor Roman. Thank you very much. Okay, Mark 4, 35, 36. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, he said to his disciples, your words tell where your faith is at and where you're going. Tells a lot about what you are like. Because your word is you speaking. Your word is who you are. If you say, I'm going to be there Thursday, I'll give you $100. You don't show up, you're good for nothing. Because that word was good for nothing. Okay? That's pretty good, though. You could actually use that. Jesus said, let's cross. He didn't say, I'm going to cross, y'all going to drown. He said, let us cross. What don't you understand about that? He said, let us cross. Didn't you hear Jesus? They should have slapped each other out during the storm. They said, listen to Jesus. Huh? I know it's funny, but you start looking at this, deciphering this whole thing, you'll find a whole lot of yourself in it. Huh? He said, let's cross over to the other side. What don't you understand? The other side? The other side. He didn't say it in the bottom of, let's go underneath here. To the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat. They took Jesus in the boat with him. You got Jesus riding in you. He's in you right now, praise God, amen. He can't go down, you can't go down. Because if he goes down, you go down, you're going to drown him. You don't want to drown him, right? So they took Jesus in the boat. They started out leaving the other cross behind. The other boats followed. This is Mark 4, 35, 36, New Living. See, the devil likes to feed you a diet of fear and worry. He'll give you a picture that you're going down. You're never going to make it out of this. This one now, I know last time God did heal you. Yeah, I can agree with that. But this one is so much more complicated than the last one. And you think, oh, yeah. Didn't the specialist tell you that this could kill you? Kill me, yeah. He did say that. And you kind of rehearse that in your mind. You know, God has the last word. I wish some folks were here tonight. So fear and worry. So he speaks the words of destruction and failure that you're not going to make it this time. But we have to take Jesus at his word because he has the last word in our lives. If we'll hang on and stay with the word, he'll stay with you. The Bible says, him that honors me will honor him. Psalm 91. Latter verse of Psalm 91 says, hey, if you stick with me, if you honor my word, I want to honor you. Thank God for that. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Let's confess this word to ourselves regularly that we're going to the other side of this storm. I'm going to make it through the storm. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how large it is, how black it is, and how fierce it seems like. And this is raging against me, but I'm going to make it to the other side because Jesus said, I'll do it, praise God. Amen? Now, you might not feel that way. You might not feel that way at all. So Jesus had the last word in their lives, even though they thought they were going to die. They said, we're all going to die. Before the storm, he said, let's go over. So he believed that. He knew this before he went to sleep. And he needed the valley to rest on that ship and on that travel there they had the arrangement to go to the other side and to travel so that he can do work on the other side. God wants you to rest because next day you have to go to work and you have to do your business and do whatever you have to do. He don't want you to be half sleepy at work and cutting your finger off and running people over and getting mad and being short on people. God wants us to have rest. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for those two amens. Notice later when they arrived on the other side of the other side of the lake. They just got over the other side, thank God. Woo, the storm's over. After they set foot on the other side, a man with a real deranged man waiting for them. Did you notice that in chapter 5? There's a man waiting for them with no clothes on. He's all cut up. He's got chains. He's got no teeth. His hair's all matted. And they go, I'm serious. You know, one problem happens and you get out of it. And all of a sudden, there's another thing going on. Good picture. Good picture. Now, Mark 5. Let's notice that. Scripture, I'm reading the King James. And they came over to the other side. Mark 5, this is after the storm. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Notice that. And they came over. They came over, not just Jesus, but they. Jesus said, let's we, us, go over to the other side. Okay, now they're at the other side. They're at the other side. They came over to the other side of the sea. Into the country of the Gadarenes, when they came out of the ship, immediately there met him, conveniently, a man who lived in the tombs. Oh, my Lord. You know, meeting a guy all deranged, he's all cut up. The Bible said he was cutting himself. He lived in the tombs there among, you know, graveyard. Anybody that lives in a graveyard, you ought to be scared of that guy. Uh-huh. What is this, Halloween? But, you know, if you notice that in your own life, you're going through your raging storm, maybe of relationship or something, all of a sudden another storm happens. So what do? You do the same thing you did last time. And you stick with the same decision you made that morning or that year or that month. That you said, I will not be afraid. Let's say that together. I will not be afraid. Come on, say, I will not be afraid. That's what you got to do. Don't be afraid. Have faith. Believe in your own words and believe what the Word of God says. Amen. When Jesus was still in some distance, it says here, Mark 5 and 6, the men saw him and ran to meet him. They bowed down before him with a shrieky scream, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. This was all happening in the spiritual realm. You know, if you read this, call it a tradition, you'll just read it like, Jesus, how are you just talking to demons? This is happening in the spiritual realm. Did anybody else see him talking to the demons? No, I don't believe so, because he's in the spiritual realm. You could be sitting right here right now and go out in the spirit and start talking to God and maybe rebuking a demon in your vision, but we wouldn't see it. You might be looking at an angel right now and whatever, giving you information from heaven, but then we wouldn't see it. But you'd be in the spiritual realm talking to in that section, sir. But we wouldn't see it. He was tired after the ministry he had, and he slept. The big mistake people make is that Jesus is thinking that Jesus is there. There'll be no storms. That's a big problem with people. They say, you know what? I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I speak with tongues. You want to hear me speak? and they think it's because they speak with tongues. Or the Christian doesn't mean they're never going to have a problem in the world. And because they're faith people, they don't have any more problems. No, there are more demons will come your way and try to disturb you, stop you. But we have to learn to stick with the decision we made in the very beginning. We don't go back on the word we had before. Amen? The mistake people make is that they think because Jesus, now they belong to Jesus, that they'll never have a storm in their lives ever again. Now, these disciples probably had the same thing. This illustrates they're going through the storm or they went on the lake. Jesus is right there. And they're probably wondering, why doesn't God ever do anything about my problem? He can see everything. Doesn't God know everything? And you're looking at each other like, you know, God, where are you? You know? And so things are happening. And everybody is scurrying around in that boat and running around. And like I said, and they're expecting God to do something. But God is waiting for you to do something, what he's given you. So here's a word that we often hear in the midst of a trial and a storm. God, don't you care about me? You said that to your friend, your family, your husband, your wife. Don't you ever care? If I fell dead, you wouldn't be worried. Well, it's too late to worry, right? You're dead. So you can't worry. So even as evening came, Mark 4:35, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. We saw that so many times. The misconception, as I said, that people think that no problems will occur because Jesus is in the house. Like some people do in the church. They say, oh, I'll never have any problem. Jesus is in my house. He's in my home. He's here, living in me. And so they cry out to God, where are you? Jesus says, fear not. Where's your faith? He tells them. The disciples thought, like many people in church, that Jesus didn't care that they were about to die. These guys were experienced people, as I mentioned, experienced people at sea, fishermen. They were there a lot of times. They saw all kinds of stuff going on there, and they were afraid. Jesus went to sleep. It shows us right here that we can sleep during the storm. Whatever storm is raging in your life, God wants you to rest, not be afraid, go down to sleep. Go to sleep. Right? So, as I mentioned earlier, you can sleep even in the midst of the biggest storms of your life. You can sleep in the biggest storms, the biggest battles of your life. Many immediately get so upset, they lose focus by playing right into the enemy's hands by losing their heads, losing their cool. It's naturally hard to believe, but spiritually it can be done. Jesus said we can have peace in the midst of a storm. The Bible says, well, if the Bible says so, it's true. The Bible is a blessing. It says that sleep is a blessing. So Jesus was getting blessed as he's sleeping in a storm. God wants us to sleep in the midst of our storm. He don't want you to be up all night trying to fix his problem that he's got. You know, he don't need your help. You're worried all night walking the floor and trying to figure out financially how you're going to do it. How are you going to heal yourself? How are you going to heal your children and your kids and so on? But he's already worked it out, see? So the Bible says go to sleep. God wants us to be restful and physically okay. Look what the psalmist said here, Psalm 4:8. Peace, in peace I will lay down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Well, I believe that Jesus knew that scripture. He's the one that spoke it anyway. He said, I'll lay down. I'll have peace. In peace will I lay down. So tonight, if you have a storm, you say, tonight I don't care. I'm going to go to bed tonight. I'm going to sleep. I don't care what problems I have. I'm going to have some rest. So everybody, I want to tell you right now, I'm going to bed. Amen? So that's what he said in Psalm 4:8. Rest and sleep are a blessing, I mentioned. We need rest, especially in the time of stress. He don't want you to be all stressed out. Jesus is sleeping in the midst of the boat. The disciples raging and crying away. You know, Jesus, don't you care? We all tell God, don't you care to have all these troubles? Of course he cares. He says, over in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, Neither let us be afraid. He didn't say, listen, I know you got some problems here. It's going to get worse. You better start getting really worried. That's what we hear sometimes. God wants us to have peace. This peace is such a peace the peace of God is not like the evening sunset, although that looks nice. But it's better than that. When you have peace, nothing bothers you. You don't have to have a smoke. Huh? That's how, you don't have to eat another bucket of chicken. Okay? You don't crave anything. You don't crave anything to get yourself feeling good. I don't have to text anybody. I'm just okay with myself. I don't have to go visit anybody. I don't have to call anybody. I just feel just as peaceful in my own skin. Peace. Nothing agitates you. That's what 1 Peter says, Peace. We have peace. No agitating passions. You don't have to be, things that take you out of the will of God. Nothing's going to get you out of the will of God. God wants you to be at peace. The kind of peace that is so tangible in your life. So don't let your heart be distressed or lacking in courage, the NET says, the New English Translation. Don't let your hearts be distressed or lacking. Lacking in courage. The Message Bible says, the last phrase of that verse, don't be upset. Don't be distraught. Don't be upset. Don't be distraught. He says, and as I mentioned, Amplified, let's read Amplified. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give you. Not as the world gives it. Many people look into the world for peace. It's just, it's not real peace. Entertainment only lasts for a short time. Okay? Whatever you're taking, whatever you're doing, it only lasts for a short time, but the peace of God lasts forever. Amen? Amen? He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. That's amazing. Don't let your heart be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's, you have the ability to not let it be afraid. Psalmist said, I will not be afraid. Let's say that one more time. I will not be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. One more time. I will not be afraid. That's a choice you make every day. Before the storm hit, the storm came. He said, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid. They already made a decision before the storm hit. Whatever, if it's financial, if it's physical, relational problems, no matter what it is, church difficulty, whatever it is, just say, no, you know what? I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of man. What can man do to me? If God is on my side, who can be against me? Huh? That's what the Bible says. Glory to God. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance, give you courage, and strengthen you for every challenge. Here's what the proverb says. Solomon is said to be one of the wisest men that ever lived. He wrote many things about life that we should avoid or we need in life, we could use. Proverbs 3:23 and 26, he says, they keep you safe. He's talking about his word, the word of God. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not to be afraid of sudden disaster or destruction that comes upon the wicked. It's coming on them. It's not going to come on you. You say, you know how many people died in that situation? I said, well, not me. And this lady, one of my elderly students at college there comes in, sits down beside me, said, oh, don't touch me. I got strep throat. I said, I don't get strep throat. I said it out loud. I said, why? Well, I said, I got Jesus living in me, praise God. I just needed to say it. I was like, no, don't be cocky like that, like I just did, because I know those people there, okay? So I worked with them for so long, so I could say that to them. Okay? But just don't do that anytime. Don't try that at home without a specialist. But do it if you can do it. Okay? Because they think, oh, that guy's crazy. But they don't think I'm crazy. They like me. This is my own class. Because if they don't like me, I fail them. So they have to like me. So anyway. He says that sudden disaster or destruction comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot. But what about the other one? Your foot from what? From being caught in a trap. Okay, that's new living. If you want rest, place your hope in God. Many put their hope in money and their work or employment or careers or pills or doctors or medicine. Those are all fine to do that to a degree. But all these things are just sources that God can use to help you and assist you to the real answer. So let's thank God for all that and be grateful for what he gives us as we go along and find the right thing that we need. Who really cares? Well, Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat, his head on the cushion. Disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" As I mentioned to you, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And these guys are saying, "We're going to drown." Right? And we know that your words indicate what your faith level. If you listen to yourself talk about different situations in life, that is your faith talking. Whatever you say is what you believe about life or whatever situation you're, problem you're facing. So, oh, I'll never make it. I always get sick or, you know, I'm so stressed out. Thank God. Anyway, praise God. So anyway, they woke up. He said, "Don't you care that we're going to drown, Jesus? We're going to drown. God, we're going down, man." Amen. It's funny you call it God, man. But, you know, I mean, we say things like this, you know. God, where are you? Can't you just see? Hello? You're God, aren't you? Don't do something. Some of you are looking at me. Okay, all right. Okay. Are we to drown? Don't you care? That's what he said. These disciples didn't have confidence in Jesus, his word, in the beginning. Like you sometimes. And I. We question whether or not this is actually, that word, was that word really for me? Does that apply over here? Or was that for specifically over here? Huh? So we say, like, you know, don't you do that? I do it. I say, does that actually mean that? Okay, all right. I'll calm down. There is peace and rest in the middle of a storm provided by Jesus and proved by Jesus. Their thinking was because Jesus was just in the boat, they were scurrying around, thinking, getting all excited, thinking that Jesus should do something about it anytime. What can we do here? You know? Yeah? Try to do something. Maybe if I just move around, God's going to do something. After all, the Bible says, as the lepers went, they were healed. So I might as well just kind of act like I'm winting. The word is speaking to you. God has spoken to your storm already. He said, let's go over to the other side. We have to learn to speak to our storm. Speak to the wind. In Genesis 1, God spoke over the elements and it was so. Just like Jesus was speaking to the elements right there. What's wrong with us talking to things against that's coming against us? God spoke and over to us in the beginning. He said, you have dominion over the enemy, over everything. When you speak God's word over your situation, things are going to change. The word of God is alive and full of power. Apply it to your situation right now. The Bible says that Ephesians 1:22-24, he put all things under his feet, even storms that come against you. He put all things under his feet Paul gives us this view of where we stand against situations that come against us naturally and spiritually or in human form, Ephesians 1, 22, 24. He put all things under, in every realm, under subjection, under Christ's feet. And he appointed him as a supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. In Mark 1:25, Jesus said to the demon, "Hold your peace," or "Shut up." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace," he says here, Mark 1:25. Jesus is saying to the demon, or those demons, or whatever speaking against you, to hold your peace. We need to believe that today. Jesus said, "Peace, be still," became calm. So we have to take care of ourselves in the midst of any storm. We have to prepare ourselves before every storm. We can't just be negligent and just sort of, we have to have our escape route, both naturally and spiritually speaking, what's going to happen next. Because, you know, everything's nice now. You might not have a problem right now, but one day you will. Jesus said so. Matthew 7 says that one day you'll have a storm. You might not have one now, physically, because, you know, you don't have cancer right now. You don't have diabetes right now. You might not have heart trouble right now. You might not have any of those problems. But you might not ever have them, because you believe that divine health is for me. Not just divine healing, but divine health. It's a whole lot better than divine healing. But so we have to believe that it belongs to me. It's mine. So when it comes to, no, I'm not having this. That's why we say, I will fear no evil. That's part of that thing. So take care of yourself and be at peace. Because peace will bring you healing. So you notice something, that they saw Jesus talk to this storm and the raging storm, and it all got calm. Jesus was the answer for that situation. And all of a sudden they got scared of Jesus. Right? You ever notice that? People, when you pray for them and you heal them, get them healed, they're scared of you. Yeah, because there's supernatural is happening. So it's amazing. So anyway, we have to, Jesus, Mark 7, Matthew 7, 24 to 27, we won't read all this, but Jesus said, whoever obeys me is going to go through the storm. You put into practice what I told you, you're going to go through the storm. So how will you handle the next storm? Well, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You're building right now, according to Matthew 7, and so on, as we read earlier, or I mentioned to you, that you're going to build on the foundation of your life, and when the storm comes, you will not be shaken when the storm comes. You will not be shaken. So we have to answer each storm like we don't have to handle it. God's already done it. He's already helped us. So storms are going to hit. So we have to say like the psalmist, Psalm 107, verse 29, he calmed the storm to whisper and still the waters. That's what the scripture says. God calms the storms. So first, you must trust in God in every area of our lives if we're going through a storm. Take a look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with some of your problems. Just the small ones. Just your physical ones. No? Is it true? Trust the Lord with all your heart. No? Is it all your heart? He said, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not at your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not just one way, all your ways, and he shall direct your path. Trusting means this. It means putting your faith in the word of God. Trusting means that he and his word are one. God and his word are one. You know his character. He'll not lie to you. Trust means having faith in. It means to believe in. It means to have confidence in. It means to rely on. It means to depend on. Whenever you're going through a storm, you say, God, I'm depending on you. I'm relying on you. I'm trusting in you. I'm having confidence. I'm putting my confidence in you that this storm will pass and I'm coming through alive. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live, praise God. Yes or no? So what manner are you? What man of matter? What man or bat are you? He said, what kind of a person are you anyway? People say to you, what are you? What are you anyway? Well, I'm a man. I'm a man of God, you know. Okay, I'll get it straight, guys. I'm going to get straight, okay? Do you know who you are? The Bible says our abilities in Christ. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, including going through a storm and be strengthened. Does he? Will he? Can he do it again? He will do it again. The Bible says here, Romans 8:37, I am a little conqueror. No. I'm just a teeny weeny small one. Teeny one. Small one. No, I'm more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. Through the storm of life. The Bible says that in Romans 5, it says, I reign through life. 5:17. I will reign. I'll dominate the storm. I'm going to win out. I know it looks bad right now, man. I got cuts and bruises. My hair is all messed up. And I was beaten up a little bit around the storm here, but I'm making it. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, because we didn't stay in faith, we got thrown around a little bit. Okay? That's all I got tonight. It says N right here. N-E-N-D. N. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you make the storm? What manner of man are you? Like Jesus said, what kind of a man are you? You speak to the elements and they listen to you. Oh, hallelujah. Can you pray in the Spirit? Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Father, we pray for every person in this place. We ask, Father, whatever storm they're going through, whatever raging winds are against them, whatever adversity they're going through, we're joined together in faith. Everybody join your hands together. Join your hands together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, joining each hand together, standing together. Go ahead and join over here. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're joining forces together in prayer. Believing you said, if two agree on earth, that's touching anything. Anything. So we're praying that whatever storm my brother and sister are going through, where if it's financial, relational, family issues, if it's work-related finances, whatever it is, Father, in the name of Jesus, children, concern for family members, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, as the storm rages against us, as the storm comes against us, the enemy is trying to defeat us, but he will not have his way. God, we know that all things work together for those who love God. They work together. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, not just for us, but for our family member. Each family member, there is a plan and a purpose for them in the name of Jesus. So we're standing. Devil, get your hands off our children. Get your hands off our money. Get your hands off our bodies. Get your hands off our minds. Get your hands off our business. Get your hands off our work. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go. In the name of Jesus, go right now. In the name of Jesus. So, angels of God, we loose you. No, angels, go forth and cause freedom. Cause them to be healed. Cause them to be released right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, go ahead and pray the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabba Samba Karaba Sanda Nalama Kasa. Oh, Brahma Kasunde Alama So Imre Kisinde Malama Kosoto Lama Nana Elebe Seta Karama Soko Simbiri Bikisa Tam Manama So. I want you in your mind's eye right now. See the victory. And lift your hands, begin to praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have the answer now. Thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You said, count it all joy when you come up against different temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, the proving of your faith works perseverance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are free. We are free. We're out of this thing right now. We're out of this storm right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Thank you. 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 Oh, Rababa Shanda Makoshili Mi Ama. Solo Koshitili Mi Namakasa Takaraba. Oh, Ramanini Namakasa Takaraba Shuti.